The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad to have you in today on this Wednesday. Is the weather good enough for you? I know you're not happy with the snow yesterday. Is this good enough?
It's whatever. It's fine.
Okay.
I'm going on vacation Sunday. I can't wait.
Okay. I mean, that makes two of us.
By the way.
Go ahead.
The evening show.
Black and Abdallah.
Yes. Two dudes from Libertyville.
6 to 8.
Yes. Correct. Get them every weeknight, 6 to 8. Mm-hmm. If we do not have a game conflict. Apparently, they think that it is like an issue that we don't have Jack Sanborn on. He's going to be on with the afternoon show. Hey, we're all teammates here, Chris and Adam. And if that is a good interview for the Waddle and Sylvie show, we are all in that Jack Sanborn should be on the Waddle and Sylvie show. We love Jack Sanborn. We'll get him on at some point.
Oh, was that an issue? I didn't hear.
Yeah, apparently they thought that it was an issue.
Oh, no, not for me. I'm happy.
Right.
I'm happy that his voice will be on this air, and it's a long season.
Yeah.
It's a long off season. It's going to be a long training camp. I'm just happy that we might have someone that could be someone. And Jack Sanborn.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not worried about the interview as much as Jack Sanborn. I'm not worried about the interview as much as it is that he could be something for the Bears.
Correct.
And it'll be a great story.
Correct.
So that's where I am. But others might be someplace else.
Correct.
So I just like for him to be a guy. And Olin Krutz and Tom Thayer's number, that'd be pretty cool.
Get it done.
Number 57.
So have a good interview.
So I'm really looking forward to that. Jack Sanborn. Oh, the All-American. 312-332.
Local boy.
Oh, local boy.
Big Ten, Wisconsin.
Lake Zurich. I want him to succeed, and I want some of these young Bears to succeed. Not just the draft picks, but the Jack Sanborn story would be really interesting.
Big time.
Hopefully the young players will develop on this football team. And still to come, we'll hear from Ryan Poles, the general manager for the Chicago Bears. But we're asking the question to you, rank your excitement level to watch the Bears each week. Has a bad team ever been this fun for you? As we go to the phone lines to talk to you, we say hello to Johnny in Buffalo Grove, leads us off on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Johnny.
Cap and hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop. What's up, Johnny?
God, I always wanted to do that. I'm so glad I got my chance.
You're the man.
Just real quick, my excitement level is definitely a 5 because I knew what this season was, and anything that Justin Fields does positively and Jack Sanborn and anybody that stands out is a positive because I knew what this was about. But Cap, I got one question for you with this whole high draft pick and all the people that want a top 3 draft pick. I understand where you're coming from, but if the Houston and Jacksonville and Detroit always seem to be picking at the top 5, and where you get like Pittsburgh throughout the years and Baltimore throughout the years, they're always picking at the back end, and it doesn't seem to really help out Detroit or Jacksonville that much. Your thoughts?
Okay, and that's a very astute, lucid, well thought out objection. Overruled. Because I look at teams like what Philly did. Philly's picking in the top, what, 7 right now?
Mm-hmm.
Because
Top
5. Philly. Because they make astute trades. They add to their cachet of picks. They trade up. They trade back. They do whatever to keep adding talent. Look at Miami. Miami keeps adding talent. They find a way to make a trade. They get Tua in there. They get Jalen Waddle in there. So there are bad organizations, Cleveland and Houston. We got a dude doing push-ups out on State Street.
It's our guy. He's been away for a while.
I believe that Ryan Poles is an intelligent executive. Everyone I've asked who knows the guy or has observed him through his career said, you guys got a winner. That guy will get it done.
My excitement level for the Bears right now is at a 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to bubble over to be in a 5, especially if we see more from Justin Fields and more of diversity in his game, meaning that more touches for Cole Kmet. Trying to get Claypool in the mix, get Mooney in the mix, along with his running game. My excitement is a four, and also I want to see the young guys in the secondary be able to develop too. We cannot turn a blind eye to this bad defense. Brisker and Gordon are learning on the job too against some of the big-time wide receivers. They couldn't get it done, Shea, against Clayton and Duper. Oh, I'm sorry, Waddle and Hill.
Exactly.
For Miami.
Okay.
So,
but at the end, if the season ends and the Bears win one more game, and they end up, what would that be, 4-13?
Sure.
They pick in the top five, but Justin's healthy, and you go, we got our guy. We got our guy. Now it's on us, front office,
yes,
to surround him with Teron Armstead or Orlando Brown, or whoever the flavor of the month is, top left tackle on the market. I mean, a really good player.
Yeah.
Boom. You're going there. And, oh, we were able to draft our Jamar Chase or whoever that is. And then in free agency, hey, there's a really good guard. Let's play him there. Oh, there's a really good secondary tight end. Let's get him there. Hey, we need to get a three technique, and we need to get an edge.
Sure.
Wow. Look at the Bears. That's how you build a team.
Shay, I have a question for you in a moment, but first let me go to Jimmy and Burbank on ESPN 1000 on Cap and J Hood. Good morning, Jimmy.
James, what's up?
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop. What's up, Jimmy?
I also wanted to do that, and I was scared when the first guy did. I wasn't going to get my chance.
You're the best.
So good, Jim.
My excitement is also a five, and I completely agree with Cap. As long as we can get out of these games with no injuries to Uno, double ones, 57, all of our guys that keep developing, and, you know, 31-30, but we have this excitement brewing, that's going to make guys say, you know what, I want to play there with that guy. And with all the money we got in the draft capital, that's exactly what we need. And the difference from the previous caller, the difference with Detroit, Jacksonville, and Baltimore is people like Ozzie Newsome and stuff like that, that they can figure out, oh, yeah, we need this guy, you know, Lamar Jackson with the 30th overall pick. And you know what I mean? Like, so these guys that are picking in the 30s, they actually know what they're doing, and they build off of that instead of just grabbing one guy and sticking with it. So that's what I wanted to say.
Jimmy, we appreciate the phone call. Shay, let me ask you this question, because you watch the Lions very closely, because they're in the NFC North. And so my whole thought as a sports fan for years is you have to have a mission statement. I need to know who you are. It's kind of like marketing, right? In five words, I need to be able. You need to describe who you are as a franchise, as a business. And so the previous caller talked about, well, the Lions have always stockpiled top draft picks, even going back to the Millen administration, all those wide receivers he stacked up, right? And so, but the whole thing with the Lions in particular is I never knew who they were supposed to be. There's a hits principle here for the Bears, but it doesn't really say who they are yet. So how would you describe what Detroit has been, right? I mean, say for the 15 years we've been watching, can you describe, like, what they're trying to be?
Losers.
What are they? They're not trying to be a loser.
Well, no.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. My argument, because people always say, well, the worst organizations pick in the top five every year. They do that for a reason. Good organizations aren't picking in the top five every year. What good organizations do differently is they don't employ, frankly, bums. Good organizations find the right guy and keep that guy around. And you don't get bonus points if you keep a bad person around, like Millen. It took too long to fire him. You don't get bonus points if you keep a bum around so you can find out if they're good.
Can we not call them bums? They earn their way to that level. They're not bums. They just did a bad job.
Cap, honestly, who cares? I mean, I'm just a guy talking on the radio. Fans would agree. They would, if a guy on the street's calling Matt Millen in Detroit a bum. I mean, that is what it is.
It goes back. That term is as old as the hills as far as fans in sports. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that guy's a bum.
Big deal.
They've been saying it for years.
We'll agree to disagree.
What? You haven't heard a fan call?
Oh, I didn't say I hadn't heard it. I just, we're better than that.
I am better than that. I actually think I'm firmly cemented in calling bad guys bumps. If you're bad at your job and you get, I don't care how you got there, you do a terrible job at it, you're a bum. That's fine by me.
What is Bears football? That's the thing, because I'm excited about the future, but I need to know, like, who are you as a franchise?
They have no way of knowing that yet.
Mm-hmm.
They just know they've got their quarterback. Got a quarterback. A couple other pieces.
And then we'll see, right? It's more than the hits principle. That's internal.
I was talking to Ozzie Guillen about this at TV one day.
Yep.
And he said, it's real easy to sit in the office, get the whiteboard with the magnetic nameplates, and put all the guys up there. Chris Sale, trade him to Boston and get a bunch. Trade this guy to the Cubs. Trade that. He said, if you're decent at your job, you're going to get the best prospects in return. Then it's your job to win with them and to develop them. It's real easy to trade Khalil Mack and go, we'll take all the dead cap hit this year. Here's a second and a sixth or whatever they got. We'll trade Robert Quinn, get this. We'll trade this guy and get that. That's real easy to do.
Yes.
It's not easy then to figure out, how am I getting my Tyreek Hill? How am I getting that guy? Everyone wants to sign that dude. Why is he coming with us? Oh, God, he costs more money than I thought. Now I don't have money to do that.
Yeah.
That's the tough stuff.
The real work is in free agency and in the draft. You can get rid of payroll. You can shed payroll. You can get rid of guys. Now what do you do from there? So, Cap and I want you to rank your excitement level to watch the Bears each week, even though you know how it's going to go. Has a bad team ever been this fun for you as well? Cap and I have a number of those names, including some thoughts about the Cubs and White Sox. We got some teams that we were like, they're not very good, but they're going to be interesting, right?
Right.
So we'll get some of those as well. And still to come, you'll hear from Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Chicago Bears. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thank you for keeping the conversation going. Thank you for tuning in. This is where you can watch our show live and all the shows, including Greeny at 10, Carmen Yurko at 12, Waddle and Sylvie at 2, Black and Abdallah at 6, Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8, all part of the mix right here on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. Still to come, Cap and I and you will hear from Ryan Poles, the general manager for the Bears. He'll give his thoughts about Justin Fields. That's at 8:35 right here on this Wednesday morning. Cap, let's go back to our conversation. We had a little bit of it during Shot or No Shot regarding the Bulls. Bulls will take on New Orleans tonight. And we just go back to that game on Sunday against Denver. I mean, from the beginning, we're watching that and just like, okay, this is not going to be the Bulls' night because the Bulls just don't have the talent that even the Nuggets have, and it starts with Jokic. But you said something about DeMar DeRozan that piqued my interest. We're watching the Bulls, and we know the talent they have on the floor. And yes, Lonzo Ball's not here, but Lonzo Ball's not the elixir to fix the Bulls. He would just be one cog in the wheel. So what do you think of the starting five that Donovan throws out there all the time?
They cannot shoot the basketball. That does not mean that Zach can't make jump shots. I'm not saying he can't. The way they play, when they get the ball inside and then Vooch facilitates rather than just hanging out at the three-point line, they're a decent team. Decent. They look good. They score points in the paint. They get the ball to, you know, inside out, get better looks. When the ball is in DeMar's hand, and again, I'm not criticizing DeMar. Let me be clear. I'm just not sure that you can win with a mid-range guy who can't make jump shots and a roster constructed of very little shooting.
Okay, well, the first part of that is not fair. To say that DeMar DeRozan can't make jump shots. He can make jump shots.
I'm talking about threes. Okay, let me be three-pointers. He cannot stretch the defense. Everything is, if it gets in his hands,
yeah.
dribble, let me get in the paint, let me hit a really tough shot over the top of a defender while everyone else stands around and watches.
That was a lot of last year.
Correct. That does not mean he's not a great teammate and a really good player. I'm just not convinced that you can win the way they play without the ability for him to kick it to the wing, knock down a jump shot. Oh, Alex Crusoe made one. Wow. Send up, you know, a bunch of balloons. We're happy. He's a good player. I like having him. We don't have a cold-blooded assassin that stands out there and makes shots. Like, you go, wow.
Okay. Well, okay. So let's unpack what you said there. Ultimately, let's start from the top with Eversley and Karnišovas. They did not put together the shooting that the Bulls need. They needed to have more shooting. We talked about this in the offseason. Adding Drummond and Dragic is not enough for this team offensively. It has this Sox vibes thing for me in which we'll just run it back. We just need to get healthy. We need to be able to play better against the upper echelon teams, and it will be fine. So the number one thing for them is to get Zach LaVine back, and he secured the bag, right? He got it.
Correct.
Okay.
He got his bag.
Okay, fine. So that's just one player. What DeMar DeRozan, though, DeRozan's giving you a yeoman's-like effort by scoring with twos. Now, you know who also scores with twos a lot? Julius Randle or Kevin Durant, or a number of these guys are good with the mid-range. Trae Young. So the number of guys are good with the mid-range. The only difference is they have talent around them. So I'm tolerant of the DeRozan offensive arsenal, but if you don't have the shooting around DeRozan where it's like, hey, he's scoring, he's giving us 15, 17, 20 points a game with twos. But if no one else is scoring around him, Cap, what else is he supposed to do? He's the oldest player on the team.
Correct.
But he's giving you buckets, though. There's value to that. But also on the other end, if Vooch is not knocking down threes, if DeSumo's not knocking down threes, if you're not getting off the bench, then where's it coming from? They had 27% from three against the Nuggets on Sunday, and 6 for 22. But that's not coming from Patrick Williams every night. But you're casting aspersions on DeRozan as if he's supposed to do anything else besides be a walking bucket. That's what he does. From the foul line in.
I'm not casting aspersions on him. I'm saying to you that I'm wildly disappointed in our front office that this is what they chose to run back. Where did we get better?
That's not DeRozan's fault, though. It's not.
But I'm not blaming him. I'm telling you that the way this roster is currently constructed from my basketball eye,
yep.
I'm not sure what if there's a very high ceiling here. Solid, competitive. Look, I'm looking at the Bucks roster right now.
Oh, yeah.
The guys that shoot the ball from three. Drew Holiday, 36%. Brooke Lopez, big guy, stretches the court, 35%. Grayson Allen, 43%. Javon Carter, 40%. You've got guys that make shots here.
Yeah.
You do.
I
didn't even mention, what's his name?
For who?
The kid from Notre Dame for the Bucks.
Connaughton. Yeah.
That's another guy that they have that can shoot the basketball. I know he's been banged up.
But here's the difference between the Bears and the Bulls in this regard, right? So after this season where the Bulls could be bounced out in the first round based on how heavy the Eastern Conference is in talent, so what's next? Now that you paid Zach LaVine, so at some point DeRozan will be going someplace else. And then what? You're waiting for the development again of Patrick Williams? You think Terry's going to be a guy in and out of the G League? Like, who's next? That's my point. Like, you know, you can bring Ball back, and you can say our nucleus is Ball, DeRozan, and LaVine. And then there's Vucevic. That's good, but will it ever be upper echelon? And unless you have better shooting, it will not. It'll never be in the top tier until you get the shooting around those guys.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point. And that's why I'm so wildly disappointed in, and I'm not telling you they can't do it. They haven't been here that long. But how have we gotten better? And it was time for change. I'm no fan of Gar Forman. I don't like how he did his business.
Yep.
I don't. On the court or off. Not my kind of guy. He's not. That said, what have these two guys, Arturas and Mark Eversley, truly done that make us competent, decent? Paid for the number one free agent coach? I love Billy. Billy can only win with the players that he has. That's it. That's all he can do. He can't shoot for him.
Can't elevate him either.
I mean, what is there to elevate? DeMar's having a resurgence in his career since he came here. So I'll push back. He did elevate him. Zach, really good player. Glad he's here. Io has developed much more quickly than people thought. Very good player.
I thought he'd be a guy coming in because he looks like a veteran already. I mean, like a 7-8 year veteran, the way he plays the game.
Right. Patrick Williams, we say it every day. He's 21 years of age. Let's just pump the brakes and let him develop. Maybe he'll work. Maybe it won't.
I mean,
but
I just...
my front office had to look at that team. We all scream it. We all do. I hear all the other shows on the station. They all know their basketball.
Yeah.
Everyone's, we got to get some shooters in here.
Yes.
Not one.
Well, they Rick Hahn'd it pretty well, did they not?
We're going to run it back. Oh. Lonzo's got to have another surgery. He's out till at least January.
I know Rick doesn't like me saying that, but that's kind of what they did because they didn't do anything at the deadline. They said, we'll just you wait for us to get healthy. Same thing with the Bulls. Well, we just have to have Lonzo healthy. Well, that's not the key to beat Milwaukee in the playoffs.
If I drop a healthy Lonzo Ball onto the team, is this a top four team in the East?
It is not.
Agreed. Agreed.
It is not. Well, now with Boston, now with the Cavs are better. No. I know it's a little bit upside down because the Heat are middling right now and the Sixers are middling. But once we get to the end of the season, you'll see the cream rise to the top.
I mean, we don't have any of the drama that they have going on in Brooklyn. We don't have to deal with any of that stuff.
Right.
Thank goodness.
But they have talent.
But how did you look at this team? I don't know. Did management not want to spend any money beyond where they're at? I can't answer that. I'm not in those meetings.
Like beyond,
none of us are.
You mean like beyond LaVine?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you're telling me that there was no shooting of any substance that you could have acquired? None.
Thoughts on Zach LaVine talking about the loss against Denver. Just not a lot of energy there.
It didn't feel like we were playing hard. They're playing hard, and that can't happen. You know, you try to pick it up, and, you know, against good teams, it's not going to work out that way all the time. So we didn't look good offensively. We couldn't stop it defensively, and that's the result you get.
It's hard to explain not playing hard. We had 3 days off.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, we looked worse than we did the day before. I think that's, you know, on all of us collectively, and you just can't have a showing like that at home. You know, it's upsetting.
Are you surprised at the Bulls' slow start? 312-332-3776. Jump in our conversation about DeRozan, LaVine, and the Bulls. And coming up, Cap and I and you will hear from Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Bears. Had something interesting to say about Justin Fields. We'll hear that coming up next on Cap and J-Hood.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We're with you till 10. It'll be Mike Greenberg at 10, Carmen Yurko at 12, Waddle and Sylvie at 2, Black and Abdallah at 6, Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8. All part of the mix right here on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. Now we play a game, and the game is called Cap, Who Said It?
Love it. Let's go.
Who Said It? And now the star of our show, Shay Norling. Shay?
Well, we need a little music for this one. I have assembled a list here of quotes. Some of them belong to Elon Musk. Some of them belong to Simpsons character Montgomery Burns.
Oh,
and it's
God.
Up to the two of you to decide with who said it.
Now, here's what's interesting, Cap. We're talking about outlandish quotes. The Simpsons... I mean, again, one of the longest episodic television shows in the history of television.
How many years has that show been on? Got to be 30 years, right?
So I'm thinking, JC, take a look at that. I'm thinking 87, 88.
When 35 years.
Remember when Fox came on? We were like, this is on a VHS. Like, how is this going to work, right?
Right. Until they bought the NFL rights.
Well, just the idea that it was on Channel 32. We didn't know what that was.
Correct. Like,
how could it be on I guess it was it UHF?
UHF, not VHF.
Yeah, this is not going to work. A network on the UHFs. Get out the rabbit ears. Tracy Ullman, what is this? What is this show? Simpsons? That's not going to work.
Still going.
Yeah, amazing, right?
Debuted December 17, 1989.
89. They were short on the Trey Sweet.
33 years in.
And then look at them. They're still rolling. And then, so that's Montgomery Burns and, of course, Elon Musk, not a Simpsons character. So let's hear from the twit in charge, the twit in charge, Elon Musk or Monty Burns. All right, let's do it.
All right, here's the first one. The quote is, "Oppression and harassment are a small price to pay to live in the land of the free."
Oh, man.
That's Montgomery Burns.
That sounds like something... I'm going Montgomery Burns with that.
That is Monty Burns.
Yes. Woo-hoo! Okay.
Yo, that's Montgomery right. Burns,
yes. I don't know the context, but that sounds like him. Yes.
Number two, the politicians and unelected bureaucrats who stole our liberty should be tarred, feathered, and thrown out of town.
That also sounds like Monty Burns.
The politicians and bureaucrats should be tarred and feathered and thrown out of town.
It sounds so outlandish that that sounds like Monty Burns for me.
I'm actually going to say Musk.
That is Elon Musk.
No kidding. It's a lot of words there. That fit in 180 characters, all that? Guess so.
240 now.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not the thief. The government is. Every year you make hardworking Joes like my reporter friend here pay income taxes.
That sounds like Monty Burns also.
I'm going to go Monty Burns.
Woo-hoo! That is Monty Burns. If there was a way that I could not eat so I could work more, I would not eat.
That is Elon Musk.
Why would he say that? What's the context?
Because that dude is born. That's all he does is work. He's worth $100 billion.
And now what?
Take your plane and go see a concert. Lay on a beach somewhere. Play some poker in Vegas. Do something.
How about not firing half your staff and realizing you need half your staff back? Not a smart guy.
No.
I mean, you can be enamored with his money, but business-wise... Tough.
Yeah.
How about telling the entire staff the night before that they have to work from the office when half of them work on the other side of the globe?
Correct.
So the quote again was about his hunger. I'm going to say that's Musk.
That is Musk.
Okay. All right.
This next one's a little obvious, I think. I should be able to run over as many kids as I want.
Monty Burns.
That is Monty Burns. There will be no Mars if we let them take our freedom away.
That is Musk.
There will be no Mars if we let them take our freedom away. I'm going to say that's Musk.
That is Musk.
Woo-hoo! I haven't missed yet.
You're doing well, Cappy. Since the beginning of time, man has yearned to destroy the sun.
That is Monty Burns.
So wait a minute. Since the beginning of time, man has yearned to destroy the sun. Monty Burns.
That is Monty Burns. That's my lesson for taking a vacation. Vacations will kill you.
That's
Elon Musk.
That is Elon Musk.
Yes.
Hey!
Come on!
Family, religion, friendship. These are three demons you must slay if you wish to succeed in business.
Family, religion, friendship. That's Musk.
That sounds like Elon Musk.
That is Monty Burns.
No kidding.
Don't
throw religion in there. That's a bad. There's some edginess there in The Simpsons, so I get that. Interesting.
I would tell those people they will get to see their families a lot when we go bankrupt.
Is it Monty Burns?
That's Musk.
That is Musk.
Give me the line again.
I would tell those people they will get to see their families a lot when we go bankrupt.
That's Musk.
Weird. Go ahead.
If you can take advantage of a situation in some way, it's your duty as an American to do it.
If you could take advantage of I'm going to say that's Monty Burns.
Give me the line again. If you take advantage of what?
If you can take advantage of a situation in some way, it's your duty as an American to do it.
It's not Musk?
I think it's Burns.
Okay, Burns.
It is Monty Woo-hoo! Burns. And the last one on our list, morons, pathetic morons in my employ, stealing my precious money.
That is Elon Musk.
Monty Burns.
Monty Burns is crazy.
It's crazy. That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
I like that.
That was fun.
Sidebar, may I approach?
Yes, brought to you by Ankin Law, $3,126 million for the great Howard Ankin.
But, and side my ball. Just one thing about Musk and Burns, just like, you know, Elon Musk with these big, these platitudes, these big time, these quotes. I mean, I'm sure people are living vicariously through those quotes. I'm sure. Some of those.
No doubt.
I just want my flying car. Where there is it? I want to be like the Jetsons. Where's the flying car?
My late father used to tell us that. Boys, I'm going to get the flying button. Bam. Here we go.
That'd be awesome, man. You saw the story from Ryan Glasspiegel and others regarding Yasiel Puig facing 5 years in prison after lying about a gambling operation.
Yes. If the feds call you, you do not lie to them.
That is correct.
They get more angry with you for lying than for the actual crime you're committing.
So we know the story, but here's what I want to ask you and Shay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also into it. Danny's into it as well as far as sports gambling. But just this paragraph got me. The Justice Department's release says that Puig lost nearly $283,000 between May and June of 2019 after paying Agent 1 $200,000 in cashier's checks. Puig continued to place nearly 900 bets on tennis, football, and basketball games between July and September of 2019. Did you hear what I said?
I did.
900 bets on tennis, football, and basketball. First of all, what kind of guy are you? I mean, how much are you betting on tennis? I mean, seriously? I mean,
those are rookie numbers.
I mean, seriously.
And how much did he pay down to be able to get his account activated again?
Don't see that.
Yeah, he owed... Oh, God, I want to say it was 400 and something. He got it. His balance down to 200, and they let him reactivate the account.
Yes.
It was like free money for them.
So here's where I bring up that paragraph. So 900 bets on tennis, football, and basketball games between July and September 2019. 900 bets, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people are down on him on this, but he really wasn't an avid gambler. When you boil it down, 900 bets between July and September, that means he's putting out 10 bets a day. You do that every day.
No, I don't.
Pretty close.
Not even close.
Let me pull out the old text messages here.
I send you what I get sent by whoever.
Yeah, but you're sending me winners, though. You're sending me, I mean, 10 bets a day. Is that too much?
That's the question. I probably make two in a day.
You win two in a day.
No, I play. I'll give you a same game like the Bulls. I'll have a same game night. That'll probably be the only play I have. But it'll be fun. I'll be locked in all game.
But on a football weekend, college football and pro, you'll be up to 10 or more.
Oh, absolutely.
Shay, do you think 10 bets a day is too much?
Yes. You're not going to win if you're betting 70 times a week. You're not going to win. You can't.
But they're all in favorites.
Oh, that's even worse. Then you're really just a square.
That's the most interesting thing out of it. Like, Yasiel Puig was a guy kind of like you're mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just gives you excitement for a burst. Mm-hmm. He was with the Reds, I think, at the end of his career, if I'm not mistaken. Longtime Dodger.
And I think he was an A.
Like, 7, 8 years. But my point is, 900 bets, is 10 a day too much? If you've got every day hockey, basketball, college basketball, you got the NFL and college football, along with the NBA on the weekend if you need to. 10 bets a day, if you're spreading it out. Now, it wouldn't be on tennis for me. Absolutely not.
Cleveland, he finished his career with, and Cincinnati.
Do you think 10 is too much?
Do I think 10 is too... Like, on a football Saturday, there's a billion college games? No. No.
He was going fast, though. Fast and furious.
But, like, on a random Tuesday, going, all right, give me... Rafael Nadal, give me the under on the sets. Give me the over on the hockey game. Give me a basketball. Like, 10 is a lot, man.
What it really probably was like 40 bets on Saturdays with college football and then betting every NFL game on Sunday and then just placing scattered stuff throughout the week.
I'd also say,
July and September.
I mean, it's the FBI, but I would just say that he didn't bet any baseball. That's hard to believe.
July and September, how much tennis was this guy betting?
For him not to bet on baseball, hard to believe.
Agreed.
Do not believe that. I think the feds held that back. Speaking of money and gambling, Danny's going to put money in your pocket in one moment, and also we'll have the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day. That's coming up next on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.